Hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Shelby, did you survive the snowpocalypse this week?
I have been loving not having to think about it, honestly, because I've lived through two snowpocalypse. Well, thinking about New York, we had two while I was there, and then two terrible ones in Houston. So I feel like I've paid my dues, and now I get to enjoy California, and so it has not affected me at all.
Okay.
How are you though? Are you like so cold?
No, I mean, I
basement
love it.
Dwelling.
The thing that's crazy that I don't think I realized this even when I moved here fully. Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up in Michigan, which is cold and is very snowy. And because of the lake, we get lake effect snow. So there's extra snow. And also, like, I lived in like about as far north in Michigan as people lived.
Yeah.
Before you move into the areas where it's like there's so much snow that you really it's hard to live there in the winter, and so I'm just like so used to it and I love it, and it's I'm sad that it doesn't snow more in New York. So whenever it does snow, I'm like, oh my gosh, so exciting. Like, people are like, I'm not gonna leave my apartment, I bought 6 days of groceries. I'm like, oh, I will be leaving my apartment every chance I get. I love just like tromping through the snow to like, I was like, let me get a bagel, let me go to the grocery store, like let me do everything. I love being out in the snow. It's so much fun. And I feel like in New York, if it's just gonna snow a little bit, then they do a pretty good job of like taking care of it right away. So even if it is snowing, it's not like you're really walking through it or whatever. It's just, it turns into slush or whatever. So when we get these like big snow days, I get so excited because it's just like snow absolutely everywhere. And yesterday, yeah, it snowed all day. There was like a foot of snow. Last night at like 11:30, I was just like out walking around after everyone was asleep. And just, yeah, it was
so magical.
I love it.
Such a romantic.
And then I also love watching all of the people who are in like Virginia and stuff who are just like completely inept and have no idea how to do the snow, like just losing their minds because it is so funny. It's like, you guys, yeah. This isn't that hard. Like, this yeah. is not that difficult and you don't know how to operate.
Mm. Yeah. And now there's like TikTok adding to it. So everyone has these trends they have to do. Like putting tarps down on the sidewalk to like make it easier to shovel snow. Like, guys, you got 2 inches of snow. Like, relax.
Right. Yeah. It's like, and also shoveling snow is not that hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's like fine if you, it's more annoying the performance of it. Like, it's like you're just doing this for TikTok. Like, so it's not like you're solving a problem you actually have. You're just, you're goading people into commenting. Yeah. But no, speaking of TikTok, I mean, how are you?
I'm TikTok famous. I'm doing well.
TikTok famous just in time for the change in management. And
I know, I hope this doesn't change my, my algorithm or whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah, 'cause I'm doing so well. No, I am slightly annoyed because I was trying to make it. I was going to make a TikTok last night, and I use CapCut to make my TikToks, which is like another app that I think is created by TikTok, and it like wasn't working. Like it just like it. I think the whatever transition that's going on between the Chinese TikTok people and the American TikTok people screwing it up, and I was like, oh. Like here, I was locked and loaded and ready to go, and now I can't.
You can't.
I need to figure that out. I have to make it. I need to make a TikTok tonight. You know, I have to keep up.
I mean, that's important. Yeah, you have to. Your audience will abandon you to the next thing, and
right.
You've gained like 30 people. So it's like important for you to keep.
Okay.
No, sorry, I meant 300.
I have like gained probably 1500, maybe, or maybe less, like 1200.
So is that link in your bio yet, sir?
Yes, it is. Finally. Ew. Thank God. I was like, this is what I care about. I need to get my Substack link in my TikTok bio. But I feel like I got to add that like as my current best TikTok was sort of like waning. Mm-hmm. I need another one to sort of like boost the engagement. I made an Oscars related TikTok. We're going to talk about the Oscars on our Thursday episode, but I feel like I didn't set up well at the top of the TikTok, sort of like what I was doing. And I think people were like slightly confused. So I didn't do as well. So I'm like, ugh.
It's okay. Squandered opportunity. Live and learn. Maybe you'll have something after this you can post. Because there was a lot of news, a lot of fun, gossipy,
yes,
celebrity mess ups and reveals.
Well, I want to start. I want to start with the Taylor Swift Blake Lively tech.
Okay, yeah, thank
because
you.
Because I sort of like only half read what this was. Like I read an article about it, but I feel like the article was like midway through the news cycle. So it wasn't the like encyclopedic dive that I needed it to be. And I think there's been maybe more new information that's come out that I haven't learned. So I was like, wait, I'll just let Shelby tell me about this.
Yeah, so it's not really like it's not like a big reveal, but all of these depositions and, you know, whatever around this lawsuit between Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni came to light. So more has come out. And a lot of it is these private texts between Blake Lively and Taylor Swift. And so, there's like headlines because at one point Taylor Swift calls Justin Baldoni that bitch with his tiny violin or whatever. And it's funny because you think about how we text each other, and if we were like mad about someone, like what kind of text would come out? It's just like horrifying to think about our text going public, and especially in the context of a friend being like, your worst enemy is such a loser and I'm sorry you're going through this. So it was like I don't know. There's so many interesting elements to it because the bigger text thread is Blake Lively reaching out with like this really heartfelt, like, hey, I feel like there's something off in our friendship and I just wanted to check and I feel kind of silly writing this and hopefully it's nothing, but like I feel like there's been a different energy between us and I just want to understand if there's something I've done, blah, blah, blah. And then Taylor Swift writes back a similarly like very vulnerable and long message where she's like, yeah, I've been frankly kind of like confused by it feels like I've lost my friend and you're more concerned with this like corporate we of what's going on with Justin and how you have this like battleground set up type thing. And so she's like calling Blake out for only caring about this one thing and being like, yeah, I just want my friend back, but I know this has been hard for you. So it's just been like a difficult time. And then Blake responds and is like, thank you for your honesty. Like, I can see how that's been isolated. So it's like a very vulnerable chat and like very unnerving. I am as putting myself in their shoes and being like, well, shit, the entire world is now like reading our texts and it's being used in this bigger picture battle. And then on top of that, not knowing where they stand now, like as like pop culture at large, not knowing how close Blake Lively and Taylor Swift are now, but having this like remnant of their truest bond, it's like a crazy amount of personal detail. And I'm fascinated by how they must be reacting to it in real time and thinking about Taylor Swift as she presents herself as like, you know, I love it when my friends get canceled, but actually maybe she doesn't. And like, actually maybe she's very resentful of being dragged into this and how paranoid she already is. And now having her personal text revealed, wondering what that will do to her going forward is very fascinating too. But yeah, it was just like, it's in the court case because they end up talking after hashing it out together. They end up talking a little bit about Justin Baldoni and like where the case is going and how he seems to be pulling out like the tiny violin, so to speak, to like say that he's being piled on and it's so unfair and he's only ever been a feminist and a hero and whatever. So the exact dates of the text aren't known to my knowledge, but it seems to be like right before his countersuit. So like towards that end of the year, whenever this whole thing first started. But yeah, so there's just like a lot there. But what's more fascinating is I'm on the Taylor Swift Reddit group, but there was no mention of this. And I think it's interesting to think of like what the machine behind Taylor Swift would do to like keep attention off this. Because yeah, to your point, it was news, but it wasn't all consuming. Like more people were posting about Cara Delevingne posting a 2016, you know, roundup that had unseen footage of Taylor Swift. And I think that itself like makes me wonder, you know, like, oh, was that, I don't know, I sound so paranoid, but I'm just like fascinated by Taylor Swift's like, was that need for control of like, maybe she wanted to bury this story with other stories of like, OMG, Cara's funny video of Taylor Swift, or like, you know, all of that stuff happening.
I mean, but are they still friends?
Like, supposedly Cara's like come out a couple times in the last year or so to be like, Taylor Swift is nothing but a great friend. I don't remember the context.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So Taylor Swift hasn't released any sort of reaction to this.
No. It's mum's the word. And that's also like, if I have seen Swifties comment on it, it's like, they're probably still really close, but it's like, they have to keep their distance so that it can't be seen as like them using each other to like get to Justin or in like a pile up sort of way. So yeah, it's like, I mean, this court case is set for what, May or something. So it'll be interesting to see if she's brought in, because there was mention of like, you know, the whole situation where supposedly Blake Lively used Taylor Swift to like pressure Justin to accept these writing changes.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like Taylor Swift lied. Like, I think she just came over and was like, yeah, I read the script, I loved it. And so it's like, it's again, just like such a messy dynamic between the he said, she said of Justin and Blake. Not because I side with Justin. I think he's gross and I think he's a liar and I think he made the work hard. But more, well, it's hard to prove this exact sort of situation, because it is more vague than like some explicit moment happening that she's calling him out on. So it'll be interesting like how much gets dragged up like outside of the actual movie making. Because the other thing that happened is Jenny Slate's deposition was released and she hates Justin Baldoni. And I think that's very telling. And another told you so moment for me where I was like, yeah, his vibes are off and I do not love the pylon that was clearly manufactured by the same people who did it with Amber Heard, the same people who did it for all, like, I don't think Justin Baldoni is a good guy. And I think the way the internet turned on Blake Lively was partly because of this manufactured stuff and partly because she does seem a little annoying, but that doesn't mean she's wrong. Right. So Jenny Slate's commentary is like about how, oh my God, Blake, like there's texts from her saying like, I can't believe what Blake's had to put up with. Justin Baldoni's such a creep. Like, he makes me so uncomfortable and his fake ass like feminist stuff. Like, so she really goes hard on him. And I think that's interesting too, that there's more obvious interest in the Taylor Swift text language than like this actual smoking gun of, oh yeah, there's another proof that not all was right in Justin Baldoni's world.
I do love whenever this happens and we get these like text messages or emails. Like, I think the Sony hacks were really fun to go through those. The like with Nicola Peltz and David or Brooklyn Beckham, that whole thing. There's a lawsuit between, I think it's Nicola Peltz's dad and like a wedding venue or something that they had. That so there's a bunch of stuff that's like out there about how about her planning the wedding and various details of it just because of this lawsuit. And it's always so interesting. I just think it's interesting also as a person when you get to read other people's texts.
I know.
Like when a friend is like, oh, like here's how I texted like this guy I'm interested or whatever. It's just, it's so interesting because obviously everyone is texting people all the time, but you're only for the most part reading your texts. So there's a strange, it's like a strange window into somebody else's like inner life to get to read those. It's sort of like visiting a friend's apartment that you haven't been to before and being like, oh, wait, this is like you're actually messy. Like you're living squalor. You know, like I think there are some things about people where you can only know them so well. And then you get a peek kind of behind the curtain into their inner life. And it's a bit startling. So reading the Taylor Swift Blake Lively exchange is about like, oh, hey, like I think something's the matter. Cause I feel like we've all had to send those texts and they're always miserable to send. And then just be like, oh, and famous people have to do this too.
I know.
Is really funny.
I am
interested to see once all of this dies down, like if Taylor Swift and Blake Lively are still friends or not. Because they seem so close for so long, but obviously Taylor Swift's history is riddled with these people who she's been friends with and isn't so much anymore, or you know, it's always kind of hard to tell where she stands with people. I think when you're famous, if you want to see someone, you sort of have to go out of your way to do it. So it's pretty easy to like move on from something if you aren't intentional about it. So it's like her and Blake could still like be friends or whatever, but you know, just not really see each other. I don't know. I'm interested to see where this goes. I do also though feel like if you're a celebrity, I would be trying so hard not to get dragged into some sort of court case for this exact reason. I guess I don't know like what the alternatives were for Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni because they hate each other and truly went scorched earth. And I feel like in a lot of ways destroyed both of their careers. But it is like, I think if I knew that there was the possibility of having to have all of my texts out online for the general public to read, I'd be like, okay, maybe actually let's not do this.
let's get an arbitrator
and we'll figure this out ourselves.
Yeah, I don't think they expected it. Like, I think the way Blake Lively presented it at the top, I think she thought it was a home run. And then he just got his dirty lawyers who've just like, and his lawyers have been told to back down, but not until it was too late, you know. So it's like things like Taylor Swift being dragged into it kind of happened tangentially because it was an easy headline for Justin's team. It would definitely muddy the waters.
Neither of these people are all that bright, not to be rude, and also neither of them are, I don't want to say good people necessarily, but they both seem like they have a lot of flaws. And so you can see how in a Succession-esque battle between the two of them, like they both think like, this is going to do it. This is where it's going to win. Like, I'm going to smoke them on this. And it's like, well, maybe not. Like, maybe this is actually just another devastating blow for you both.
Well, have you heard of Colleen Hoover's new book?
Colleen Hoover has a new book. I mean, I don't follow Colleen Hoover.
No, I know. But
I saw an ad. Did we talk about the trailer?
Yeah, the new movie. Yeah.
Yes, and I was like, this has to be Colleen Hoover. Wait, okay, what's her new book?
So the new book is set on a author who, after a viral backlash over her latest film adaptation, is forced to take a hiatus and disappears to write. She goes to the woods to write her next suspense novel, hoping to find inspiration, and then meets a detective. But it's like, branded a fraud and fame-hungry opportunist, she learns the hard way what happens when the internet turns on you, and she's been uninspired to write ever since.
It's called Woman Down.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so yeah.
We will be taking inspiration directly from the headline. Yeah. The main character's name is actually Rake Snively. Interesting.
Yeah, so life imitates art, and life art imitates life. Art.
Wait, okay. My other favorite story of the week, which I think has a Blake Lively-esque, like, the celebrity didn't quite realize what they were getting into element mm-hmm. to it, is the Colton Underwood on the Traitors saga.
Yeah. So we talk about baby with hurt feelings, please.
We've talked about Colton Underwood numerous times on the podcast, I feel like, yeah. over the years, as he's stalked his ex-girlfriend, fiancé, yeah. girlfriend? I don't know.
Girlfriend, yeah. They did not. Well, he was on The Bachelor.
He was on The Bachelor.
She wanted to quit and leave. He famously right. jumped the fence, threw a fit, and was like, no, you're all I ever wanted. And she's like, yes. Okay. And so he left the show. They did not get engaged, but they decided to date after. And then he stalked her.
Yes. Yeah. Then he stalked her, put a tracking device on her, on her car. All kinds of creepy things. And then came out as gay, which, you know, not to say that that's not real or whatever. Like, I've seen people online be like, he's faking it in order to get out of the stalking thing or whatever. And I'm like, I don't think that's the case. I guess you could maybe say, like, oh, he's bisexual, but, you know, he's saying that he's gay. No. So I'm like, let's believe annoying gay people.
Yeah.
And he's married to this, like, sort of creepy looking old man. Yeah. Now, whatever. I think they have a kid, do they? Yes.
I think so.
But he's had various sort of gay related reality shows since then. And I think has been trying to rebrand himself. However, and I don't know how the post-Bachelor reality shows have gone. Like, I assume okay. And I think that they weren't a big enough deals.
Yeah, I mean,
he really got a lot of public attention for them. And also because they were connected to him, it's like, okay, yeah, his fans are going to watch it. The people who don't like him are probably not going to engage with that content. And so I think he, in a delusional state, thought that going on The Traitors for some reason would be like good image rehab for him, or that people would really like him on The Traitors.
Well, because he's a narcissist.
Right. Well, yes. And I kind of, in some ways, don't understand why The Traitors cast him, because it's not like there aren't other Bachelor people that you could get on the show. And I don't think that they necessarily cast him to be a villain in the same way that they cast Michael Rapaport. I think sort of knowing, like, oh, this guy is a hot mess that's going to flame out and will give us a good, like, two or three episodes of TV, and the public will really hate him, and then he'll go. But Colton has really been playing this season, I think, thinking that he is Dylan Efron or Pilot Pete, like, that he is figuring things out, that he's cracking the case, that everyone's gonna like him. And partially because of the stalking allegations, and partially because he's targeting people on Traitors who have fan bases, he has just become this villain on the internet. And that all came to a head, I think, this past week's episode, where he's targeting Lisa Rinna, who obviously has this massive army of fans from the Real Housewives franchise. And so now they are just going after Colton and the internet is ripping him to shreds. They're pulling back, they're pulling up all of the, you know, stalking stuff and really just going to town on him. And also, there is next week, there's this big banquet that they're doing. And in the sneak peek, it sort of shows that everyone has these elaborate outfits. And Colton's is terrible. It's like an Amazon body pearl necklace collar thing, and he's shirtless. Amazon. And then he has this weird headband that's like bunching up his hair and doesn't match anything. And people are just like raking him over the coals on Twitter. And people on Twitter love when they can, you know, do a little bit of righteous indignation.
Yeah.
And it got so bad, apparently, that the Traitor's Twitter account had to release a statement being like,
yeah,
these people are not just reality stars. They are human beings. Like, you need to leave them alone.
Yeah.
Stop bullying them. And in the statement, they say like, these are real people. And then Colton went and changed his Instagram bio to say like real person. He's just such a child.
Well, I mean, it's all crazy because Lisa found out, supposedly how it played out is she saw a TikTok that was like, and Colton has a stalking allegation. And Lisa commented and was like, what? I've never heard of this. And then she commented on another post that was like, when are we going to talk about Colton stalking? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to bring it up on the reunion. You better believe it. And like, she's used it a few times, but then suddenly she posted a video like today or yesterday that was like, guys, Colton and I are cool. We're all just playing a game. And I don't know. I think he's such a little crybaby. And he's deleted all his posts on his Instagram about Traitors. Did you know that?
Oh, wait. No, I haven't seen
that. Yeah, he's deleted all his posts. He deleted like, Traitors from his bio. I can just picture him being a huge baby. And part of it might be that part of his settlement with his ex, Cassie, was that he cannot talk about their breakup or the case at all. And that might be true. And so there might be like legal ramifications for Peacock if it is like brought up on air, blah, blah, blah. So they might be like, you know, batting down the hatches in that regard. But either way, you have this man child who's throwing a fit, and it's like, he's not the first person to be bullied on this show. I think Danielle from last season could speak loudly about what it's like to have the internet hate you.
But so she made a TikTok about how much she hates Colton, which was also incredible.
Yeah, so it's like, and he should be used to this. Like, you know, like, obviously I do not believe, I think people on the internet do take it too far. I think death threats is an insane thing to do to a stranger. I don't think there's any justifiable reason that fans of a TV show should go into someone's DMs and be like, I'm gonna kill you. That's just crazy. And it would be unsettling. But I think it is more telling how he's throwing this fit of deleting his posts and not talking about, you know, the show anymore, and having every interview with him be like, we're not allowed to talk about his past. So it's like, yeah, it just seems like he's being kind of a baby about it. And it'll be interesting to see how they save it. But I do think all of this, you know, well, to say pearl clutching on the part of Peacock is because he makes it very far. And that's unfortunate.
I do not think that that is
I think case. He makes it far.
I'm like,
I think he's going to win, or at least get to the end.
I'm like, are you watching this show? You are on another planet. That is the craziest take I've heard.
Because the Traitors won't kill him. The Traitors won't kill him. He'll probably just work harder to get shields. He'll probably like have an argument. It's either he goes home next week or he wins. Like, that's, I don't see another way around it.
I can't. I feel like having watched all of the seasons of Traitors and having covered it, like, once you get the stink of being a traitor on you, it is really hard to
Once Lisa is revealed as a traitor, everyone will be like, he's right.
No, Shelby. This has happened like truly the last two seasons. If he if Lisa Rinna gets eliminated before him, everyone is going to go, oh, why was he so sure that Lisa
will go hellfire on Rob and drag him down? And so attention will go on Rob. That's how I envision this.
I don't think so. No, I don't. I think, well, we don't really know what's going on this week in this upcoming episode with this banquet and how that's going to work exactly. And Alan Cumming has teased that this is going to be like one of the best episodes of reality TV that we've ever seen. No, so, I mean, you know, unclear on what exactly that looks like. But I do think that, like, I think that the round table this week is either going to be Lisa or Colton that gets eliminated. And then the next week it will be the other one of the two of them. So I don't know. I'm not too concerned about Colton being the winner of the season. If he is the winner of the season, then I think we are in for that's going to be really annoying. And I think the show will have to deal with a lot of backlash and people will not be happy about that. But I kind of just, I don't think he's playing a good enough game to last that far.
But like, everyone else is like such duds and kind of just easy to manipulate. Like, they literally don't have a single original thought.
But he almost got voted out this past week. And
they're so quick to like change opinion. Like, literally they were ready to call Ron like such. And then as soon as he said something nice, they're like, oh, I don't think Ron's a traitor.
I just don't. Like Danielle last season was so bad, and like, yes, she made it a lot farther than you thought she was gonna make it, but like, at a certain point when you're looking around the table and you're like, okay, who do we think the traitor is? Do we think it's Kristen Kish or Stephen Coletti or Colton? It's like, okay, we're gonna vote out Colton. I don't know. I am interested to see how this all goes. It's crazy to me always when celebrities who have these like troubled pasts decide to like charge forward with something, seemingly having no idea that it's going to be bad for them. Like, obviously Colton going on this TV show was going to bring up all of these allegations. I guess like best case scenario for him is he gets booted early and people sort of forget that he's there. But you know that sort of the better he's doing on the show, the more his haters are going to bring up stuff. But yeah, I guess it is just narcissism.
He thought he could win more fans and just over, like, to talk over the haters. I'm pretty good at it. Wait, but I want to talk really fast about the Queer Eye guys. Did you see this?
Oh my gosh, yes. About how Karamo?
Karamo.
Like made that statement to the Today Show or whoever it was about how like he's been emotionally harassed and bullied.
He's been being bullied and
he can't show up. Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah, because they're promoting their final season, their 10th and final season. Obviously, Bobby was axed 2 seasons ago. So there's a new... There's one of the newer guys, and then there's the original 4 with JVN and Tan France and Anthony, and then Karamo, who's like the emotional like therapy guy.
Yeah.
But so then they're promoting this new season and Karamo's not there, which is like, there's easy ways to be like, oh yeah, he couldn't be here, whatever. But Karamo or his team or whoever made sure that these news casters had to read these statements that got, they're varied and very confusing, where he's like, yeah, I'm protecting my mental health, I have felt bullied and silenced and I could not be there anymore, which is so diva and I love it. And for one, he shared like a video statement where he's like, sorry, I can't be there, but I'm always talking about mental health and I have to protect mine. And like, this has been a troubling era, blah, blah, blah. But we're so excited for the new show.
It was so jarring, though, because in the clip, like the newscasters start it and they're like, Karamo can't be here today because of his mental health and bullying. But he sent this video, and you think that the video is going to be serious. Yeah. Because they are serious in their intro to the video. And the video is like, hey guys, it's Karamo. Like, I love this show and the crew is great, but I have to support my mental health, so I'm not going to be there. And it's like, wait a second. Like, this is tonally so jarring from what we got before. And then after his statement, it then cuts to the interview with the other four guys.
And they're all just holding hands.
And they're all holding hands. And it's like, wait, you've sort of just been all accused of bullying right before we start this interview, which feels like a wild way to start it. I also am like,
he has felt mentally and emotionally abused for years, and that his therapist advised him not to attend to protect himself and his peace.
Crazy.
Which no one knew, like, oh, is he accusing production? Is he accusing these Fab Four? What is the drama? But then what was also interesting is the new guy pipes up and he's like, can I just say? And it's important to note that he is white. He's like, can I just say? I know I'm the new guy, but like I've not felt bullied at all. I've had no problems at all. I love everyone here and everyone loves me, and I don't know anything that could be wrong for anyone on this show ever. And it was just like so classic, like, well, that didn't happen to me.
it's crazy though, because like, so now two members of the Fab Five have sort of like accused the others of bullying.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what kind of, like, what does that mean exactly? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
There's only five people in the group. So I could sort of see when, you know, if it was like 4-on-1 or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, now that it's like
six, wait, in the city.
Yeah. It's like 3v2 or whatever. And the bullies include Jonathan Van Ness, Anthony, and Tan France, who like do seem like they could kind of be diva-ish people, but don't really strike me as like mean. I don't think. I'm like, what is the people whose texts we need. Like, let's get a lawsuit up and running here. I would like to subpoena some text messages from
Supposedly Karamo was told something that someone overheard the other three talking about him, and he didn't like that. Supposedly that was like the last straw. And he unfollowed the main three, but not the new guy. And so I bet there's just, I think there's just like a lot of...
It's just gay gossip. Were they talking about Karamo's face? Because that was also
his beard.
When Apatava was like, oh my gosh, like this is... It looks like that Mario Party challenge where you like stretch Mario's face. Did you ever play that? It looks like someone took Karamo's face.
Don't bully him.
And like,
don't. Like, he's scared.
We're
going to
pull the eyebrows up. We're going to pull the cheeks out. That's the vibe. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how this 10th season goes. It's kind of been, you know, plodding towards its irrelevancy over the last five or so. Like, it's not. It's not hitting the same way it has.
No.
And so, it's funny to see him bow out in such a dramatic fashion, but it probably has worked to garner more interest in the season, which I did not know was even coming out until this.
I also do wonder if this is a publicity move from Karamo to sort of get like some attention before he launches, you know, whatever his post this career is, you know, like he's got a hair care line coming out or whatever. Okay, well, I mean, there is so much other juicy news to discuss, because like, we didn't even get into Brooklyn Beckham. There was also Alex Honnold climbing this building while his like wife is like, stop, please. And then there's all the Sundance stuff, but I feel like we need to get into our love it or hate it. I can go first.
Okay, yeah, please.
So I moderated two panels over the weekend for this movie Arco, which is an Oscar-nominated animated film. It's French, but it's dubbed in English with like an all-American voice cast. So like Natalie Portman, Will Ferrell. It's just so cute. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with the animated features the last couple of years, it like there have been things that I've really liked in there, but we tend to either get like the like Pixar, Disney, Minions, like that kind of thing where it's like, oh, this is like a big budget kids movie, or something that's like so artsy and more like just for adults.
Yeah.
And this feels like very much a kid's movie, but it is also like really beautiful hand-drawn animation, very, very imaginative. It's about these people from the future who can like travel back in time by like sort of flying, and they're wearing these like rainbow capes. So that's what causes a rainbow. Like when you see a rainbow, it's actually like one of these people flying back through time. And this little kid who's not old enough to fly by himself decides that he wants to, and he gets stuck back it's still the future from now. It's like they're from like 2900 and something, and then he gets stuck in like 2085. But so then it's about him and this girl who become friends trying to figure out how to like fix his time travel cape and get him back to the future. And it's just so cute, and I really loved it. And something that I thought was interesting is I was at the screening, and they were like, oh, the screening right before this was for like international kids film something something. And I was like, what is this? Apparently in New York there is like a email group for parents who want their children to watch international films, and so they get emails whenever there's like an animated international film that's going around.
Cute.
Which I was like, that's the most pretentious New Yorker thing I have ever heard. But it was very cute to see all of these kids there and like asking this random French director to autograph their coloring book. So
cute.
I enjoyed it. I hesitate to recommend things to Penny after she was terrified by a flood last time, and there is like a fire sequence in this, but the movie was very good.
She's older, and also we were gonna, I wanted to see it, but it's not in any of our theaters nearby, so we'll have to wait.
I think it's a slow rollout.
Yeah
as they love to do.
Yeah, cute though. I saw another Oscar contender, so a perfect segue into our Thursday episode, a little teaser. Surprise to everyone, I think, frankly, Song Sung Blue got Kate Hudson Oscar nomination. So I watched it, and I did not enjoy it.
Oh!
That was a no for me. It was about what I expected. I'm kind of... Yeah, it felt like just like your classic B sort of feel-good schmaltzy kind of musical-y tragicomedy, and it is like Timu, A Star Is Born, I guess, in some ways.
Yes.
And the whole thing was just kind of weird and what, but I was watching because Kate Hudson, and I don't think that was earned. I don't think that was earned, and I apologize to her, but yeah.
It's a real wacky movie because it's about this Neil Diamond cover band in Wisconsin.
Tribute. It's a tribute. Sorry,
whatever. And how they, it's like this husband and wife who go around performing Neil Diamond songs. And then she gets hit by a car and loses her leg. And so it's, you know, it's like she goes into depression or whatever. But then it's healed
alcoholism,
by the beauty
there's
of music.
Drug addiction.
Yes, there's all kinds
heart
of
stuff. Issues.
She's really doing like the most acting because she gets to sing, she gets to be funny, she does this Midwestern accent, she gets to be depressed. Like, she's doing a lot, and I think a lot of people like Kate Hudson. Like Kate Hudson. I think she is good in things that she's in. And I don't necessarily think she's bad in this, but like, it's just kind of a bad, weird, wacky movie.
Yeah.
I think that the most damning thing about this is that I sort of expect it. I'm not super familiar with Neil Diamond, but I expected when I was watching it to be like, oh, that's a Neil Diamond song.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. No, didn't happen to me once. The only song that I recognized in the movie was Sweet Caroline. And when they started singing that, I said, why are they singing Sweet Caroline? This is a Billy Joel song. Why is this in here? And then afterwards, someone was like, no, that's, or then you know, at some point in the movie, they're like, that's the most famous Neil Diamond song. And I was like, really? I thought that was a Billy Joel song for years. I could have sworn that Sweet Caroline was a Billy Joel song. So I was
like,
wow.
You didn't even believe it in the movie when they're
I was like, I was like, oh, maybe they're singing like this Billy Joel song because it's kind of similar to Neil Diamond and, you know, like everybody knows it. But no, it's a Neil Diamond song, which I think is a real blow to Neil Diamond's marketing campaign, because it's like, how come I don't even know that his most famous song is?
I think that's on you, sir, because the movie makes it pretty clear that's a Neil Diamond song.
Right. But even before the movie, I thought it was, I didn't know it was a Neil Diamond song.
That's on you, sir. But yeah, so. No, Neil Diamond. Song Sung Blue.
Okay, well, I can't wait to see where Song Sung Blue ends in our year-end ranking.
Yeah, who knows?
But we will be back on Thursday to talk about the Oscar nominations. I think there's a lot to unpack there, and then we can also sort of talk about some of these artsy movies that we haven't really done full episodes on and had a chance to discuss yet. So thank you all for listening, and we'll be back then. Bye!